The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
It's a very different Memorial Day to the one we had last year, where, if you remember, Trump was saying everything should open up again and all kinds of wacko theories.
So much better this year than last year when Donald Trump was saying, hey, we ought to open things up. He shouldn't have said that. That was a wacky theory. We need to keep it locked down. That's what so many of them would hope would continue. Well, at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel, as a lot of states and sporting activities and such, even our concert series that's going on the road tomorrow night. It'll be performing down in Dallas. Before I get to that, just let me point out that you're listening to The Trumpet Daily. We come to you every day live on our website, thetrumpet.com/live. We also team up with CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, and they distribute their programs over various platforms, millions of homes in the United States. We also, we're doing fairly well. We've only been on 2 weeks, but we've got our weekend edition, the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition, that plays on an Arizona station every Sunday morning, Arizona time, 11 a.m. That's on KFNX, but you'll be happy to know we also post that weekend edition of the Trumpet Daily on our website, thetrumpet.com, so you can get to all of that material. So, Celtic Throne, as I've been trying to promote here over the last week, they're taking the show on the road tomorrow night in Dallas, Texas, or I guess Irving, Texas, to be precise. And following that, we've got shows coming up again here in Edmond next Sunday, and then I believe in Austin, Texas, the following Wednesday. And then the Monday after that in Amarillo, Texas, and of all the cities that we have contracted with, Amarillo, believe it or not, has sold the most tickets so far. So we're excited to visit Amarillo. After that, we'll be going to Memphis and Nashville, Birmingham, Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas, before we then round out the tour in Tulsa, Oklahoma, closer back here to home. And then the final show will be on July the 11th here in Edmond, Oklahoma at Armstrong Auditorium. So if you'd like to see about tickets for a show near you, go to the website CelticThrone.com. That's CelticThrone.com. And if you get to that site, you can go right to the buttons that will take you to purchasing tickets. If you like, lots to get to on today's program. Barack Obama gave an interview to Ezra Klein at the New York Times. We've got some sound bites from that coming up. But before we get to that, quite a lot of turmoil. And surprise, surprise, turmoil in Israel's government. Of course, we know biblical Israel is more than just the little nation of Judah that's called Israel today. But you see, Isaiah 1 brings out sickness from head to toe. Sickness throughout the head, right at the top, right at the government. And now you see this very strange situation developing in the little Israeli state, where you could have a left-wing government headed up by a right-wing prime minister and Benjamin Netanyahu, perhaps, on the way out. In the last election, Netanyahu's Likud party got the most seats, barely. So he was given the opportunity to form a government. He was unable to build a coalition. And so next it was Yair Lapid, I guess is how you say his name, or Lapid maybe. He comes from the center-left party. And in order to form a government, he had to pull together a right-wing party, even further to the right than Benjamin Netanyahu's. That would be Naftali Bennett's party, Yamina. But he also needed to pull in a left-wing party, far to the left, actually an Islamist party, the Ra'im party. And so they've got this strange arrangement now where the dominant party could be Yair Lapid's party, but then it would be headed up by Naftali Bennett, and he was really voted in so that they could hopefully pull Benjamin Netanyahu more to the right. But now he sees an opportunity to be a prime minister. So he's entering into an alliance with the center-left party, and then also this Islamist party. Here is a, I think this was on CBN, it's a Jewish correspondent on the CBN production explaining some of what's happening in Israeli politics at the moment. This is clip 7.
The common denominator of the entire bloc is a desire to remove Netanyahu from office. Despite the fact that Netanyahu has been a very successful prime minister by many accounts, including building up Israel's economy, its infrastructure, and its military, Netanyahu has been a difficult minister to work with. And in fact, the Ram party is a member of the southern branch of the Islamic movement, which essentially makes it a sister party of Hamas. And you would be depending, for the first time in Israeli history, on an Arab party to hold up the majority.
That's CBN talking about the, I guess, Ram is how you pronounce the party. That's the Islamist party, which is basically an ally of Hamas. That's about to come right into Israel's government. There's still a lot that can change, even in the next 24 hours. But just to come back to something that we've emphasized over and again with respect to Ephraim and Manasseh, look at the attack. Well, we saw it even before all of this. With the seventh and final era of God's church, where Satan just went right after the leadership. He knows if he can get to the leadership, that most people will just blindly go along. As that commentator pointed out, this is an effort to just get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. And for the most part, he's done a pretty good job, at least as far as maintaining security for this little state that's surrounded by so many enemies. And then, of course, he navigated his way through 8 years of Barack Obama, where there was so much hostility coming from America toward Israel. And then, of course, the last 4 years with Donald Trump. Naftali Bennett, as I said, he's voted in basically to head up his party in the hope that he'd bring Benjamin Netanyahu more to the right. But now the lust for power... This may be political suicide as far as he's concerned, but here he has the opportunity to be a prime minister, I guess on a rotation basis, because again, the government's so fractured and they're doing everything that they can to try to bring some kind of a coalition together, even if it's the Ram party joining on as sort of a sister party to Hamas, of all things. And people, by the way, people want to say Israel's government or Israel is racist, that they would even accommodate those kinds of far right or left parties. Well, that's the way it is, though, in Israelite nations. Just welcome everyone in. America's done that. Britain's done that. And then look at the sickness from within. As now you have all of these tribes, basically. You see it in the United States as well, tribalism. Same thing in Israeli politics. But think of it, a left-wing government led by a right-wing prime minister, at least until 2023. Again, we'll see what happens tonight and tomorrow. But I think what's an important point to make from this is that Bibi Netanyahu, he goes back 13 years now, this run as prime minister, and as I say, it encompassed all those 8 years with Barack Obama. He knows a little bit about how to deal with the pressure and even persecution coming from a U.S. government that's hostile to Israel. And what we're experiencing at the moment, effectively, in the United States, I mean, is Obama's third term. As he said in this interview with the New York Times, Joe Biden, the fake president, he's carrying out everything Obama didn't finish, wasn't able to complete. And he's doing it with the help of a lot of former Obama staffers in a much more bold and aggressive and audacious manner. This interview with Ezra Klein, Breitbart, reported on it this way, saying President Barack Obama said in an interview published Tuesday that his former Vice President Joe Biden was finishing the work he began to redistribute wealth through programs like Obamacare. So he's come along and he's here to finish. And you got Barack Obama working behind the scenes, the puppet master, as we've said time and again. And really, he just admits it. He admits it in this interview. First, though, listen to what he says about, you know, how he dealt with the truth during his 8 years as president. This is clip two.
I think that a lot of times one of the ways I would measure it would be, is it more important for me to tell a basic historical truth, let's say, about racism in America right now? Or is it more important for me to get a bill passed that provides a lot of people with health care that didn't have it before? And there's a psychic cost to not always just telling the truth, to, as I think I describe in the book, using your prophetic voice as opposed to your coalition building political voice. And I think there were times where supporters of mine would get frustrated if I wasn't being as forthright about certain things as I might otherwise be.
So here's Barack Obama, if you can believe it, getting some criticism, catching some flack because he wasn't radical enough. Well, we all know he was radical. We all know that he was fundamentally transforming the United States of America, and that continues. But he talks about how that he had to be careful with the way that he went about that transformation, that fundamental transformation, because he couldn't just come out and say what he really believed. That clip you heard right there, it made me think of that other clip from 2019, I think it was. I'll play it here in just a moment. My father wrote about it in the March 2020 Trumpet magazine. If you don't subscribe to the Trumpet, by the way, make sure that you subscribe today, as I've said over and again in recent weeks, in recent months, really. Tomorrow's news today. That's what you get at the Trumpet if you're a subscriber. You get the headlines before they happen. That's because God gives us his perspective on the news. And we rely upon the sure word of Bible prophecy, as the Apostle Peter said. So those are precious insights that we're able to give to you through the Trumpet on this program, on my father's program, The Key of David. But this article from a year ago, March 2020, my father says, in an address to Democratic donors in November of 2019, Mr. Obama said that if Democrats wanted to be elected, they need to conceal their radical views. Because he said in this private dinner, and someone recorded it and then played the audio later, he basically said, look, most of America, they don't think like this. They're not revolutionaries in their thinking. So we've got to conceal. We've got to learn to conceal our radical views so that we can get voted into office. That's right. That's Barack Obama. This is the way he thinks about truth and lies and concealing things and deceit. It's all part of the revolution, isn't it? Listen to this. Again, this is from November of 2013. He's having a discussion with top Democratic donors, Barack Obama. Here's clip 13.
Even as we push the envelope and we are bold in our vision, we also have to be rooted in reality. And the fact that voters, including Democratic voters, and certainly persuadable independents or even moderate Republicans, are not driven by the same views that are reflected on certain, left-leaning Twitter feeds. Or the activist wing of our party. This is still a country that is less revolutionary than it is interested in improvement. They like seeing things improve, but the average American doesn't think that we have to completely tear down the system and remake it. And I think it's important for us not to lose sight of that.
See, the average American doesn't think that way, but of course he does. And the radical Democrats think that way. They've always thought that way. I think the date on that clip, by the way, said November 2020. It was 2019, right at the tail end of 2019. And then my father wrote about it in the March 2020 Trumpet magazine. In any event, there's Barack Obama working behind the scenes, even ahead of the November 2020 election, saying that, look, we've got to be careful. We've got to conceal our true intentions. Otherwise, we're not going to get voted in. My father said in the article, the average American doesn't think that, but he does, and the donors do, his donors do, and he wasn't telling them to abandon that goal, only to be more underhanded about it. See, he didn't say, hey, we've got to change our policies. We've got to change our strategy. We've got to change our thinking so it's more in alignment with the rest of America. He didn't say that. He said the rest of America doesn't think as radically as we do. So we've got to be as underhanded about this as possible. That's who's heading up the Democrat Party right now. As my father wrote, Mr. Obama is contemptuously and openly discussing what he meant by fundamentally transforming America. Now that he's out of office, he tells us what his real goal was and still is, to completely tear down the system and remake it. That's the article there from 2020, March of 2020, my father's piece in the Trumpet magazine. Again, make sure you subscribe today. If you're living in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean, by the way, you can call toll-free 1-866-930-3024. You can call toll-free and order your free copy or become a subscriber, I should say, to the Trumpet magazine. Obama, in this interview that he had with Ezra Klein, he expressed some frustration over the fact that he felt like Donald Trump came in and stole his thunder with respect to the economy. The economy, you remember the economy that was doing pretty good under the administration of Donald Trump? Here's Barack Obama in that interview with Ezra Klein taking credit for all of that. Of course, they take credit for the successes. And then, of course, they blame Trump or whoever else for all of the failures of their radical leftist policies as well. This is clip three.
And the truth is that if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, let's say a Joe Biden or the person who was running, Hillary Clinton, had immediately succeeded me, and the economy suddenly is 3% unemployment, I think we would have consolidated the sense that, oh, actually, these policies that Obama put in place worked, right? The fact that Trump interrupts essentially the continuation of our policies, but still benefits from the economic stability and growth that we had initiated, means people aren't sure. Well, gosh, unemployment's 3.5% under Donald Trump.
Right. Trump interrupted his run and then still benefited from all of those radical left-wing socialist policies that just make economies boom, right? Wrong. Wrong. And now look at what's happening. I saw a news item earlier today. Fuel prices, gasoline here in the United States, up 40% in some places just since January, just since the fake administration got in there, just since the fake inauguration. 40%. It's pushing towards $6 in some places in the United States. Here come the policies. And then the announcement last week, a $6 trillion budget. $6 trillion. And then AOC and others talking about, the trillion we need for this or $10 trillion for this, all of these climate change policies. We can do $10 trillion, she said. We can do $10 trillion. So much ignorance, really. And behind it all, of course, they're fine with bringing down the system, with crushing the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency in the world. If it'll bring down the system so that they can then remake everything in their image, that's quite all right. That's all part of the plan. They're throwing out trillions and trillions here, there, and everywhere, as if we can just keep printing forever We'll have more to say on that in a future program. And again, that's a theme we've talked about fairly often on this show as well over the years, but we need to keep coming back to it. How do you sustain this? $6 trillion? I've written for the Trumpet over the last couple decades, and you know, I can remember writing about budgets that were $2 and $3 trillion and just thinking, how are we going to sustain? Now it's six. And this doesn't even include all of these special bailout programs. Another trillion over here. We just had a $2 trillion one a few weeks back. These people have lost their minds. They're drunk on power. And just spend. And spend, spend, and spend to get the votes. Pump in $6 trillion now. And then hopefully they'll re-elect Democrats next year. As we all think selfishly about the here and now and what we can get at this moment, and we don't give one thought to our children and their children and the future of America, it's really sad to watch. I mean, it's sickness through and through. Then listen to this. Here's the, I guess, the money quote where he's talking about Joe Biden finishing the job. Here again, this is Obama's third term, the start of it anyway. This is clip four.
And I think that what we're seeing now as Joe Biden and the administration are essentially finishing the job. And I think it'll be an interesting test. You know, 90% of the folks who were there in my administration. They are continuing and building on the policies we talked about.
90%. That's quite a statement. You would think there'd be a few people in the fake Biden administration that would say, well, hang on a second. I mean, you're taking all the credit for what we're doing here. He's just right out there with the New York Times saying, yeah, Biden's coming along to finish the job. And by the way, 90% of my administration's in there running the show anyway. Here again, it makes you think of that statement he made. What was it, last fall? I think it was either right before or right after the November 3rd election. In that interview, as he's going around promoting his book and so on, and Barack Obama said this about a potential third term. Clip one.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating.
The work's fascinating, right? Entering into this period of stagflation, as some are now saying, runaway inflation. A dollar that's about to become worthless, people leaving markets in droves so that they can go out and buy some tangible asset just so that they have something of substance because they see what's coming. They know. So many people know it's not sustainable. And you look at the big lie about the Wuhan virus and the fact that Jonathan Carl, as I played for you yesterday, he came right out and admitted, yeah, we told a lie, but it was because we had to oppose Donald Trump. We had to oppose Donald Trump. Listen to this clip again. I played this yesterday, but this is ABC's Jonathan Carl over the weekend, clip 12.
And yes, I think a lot of people have egg on their face. This was an idea that was first put forward by Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, Donald Trump, and look, some things may be true even if Donald Trump said them. And there was, because Trump was saying so much else that was just out of control, and because he was, making a frankly racist appeal talking about Kung Flu and the China virus, his notion that put forward that this may have, or that he said flatly that this came from that lab, was widely dismissed.
It was dismissed because Donald Trump said it. They are more inclined, as I said to you last week, they're more inclined to believe the CCP than they are to believe Donald Trump. That's the propaganda media in the United States today. And when you look at what comes out from some of those labs in China. I mean, this has happened over and over again, as was explained by the former FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb. Listen to what he had to say in a recent interview, clip 8.
These kinds of lab leaks happen all the time, actually. Even here in the United States, we've had mishaps. And in China, the last 6 known outbreaks of SARS-1 have been out of labs, including the last known outbreak, which was a pretty extensive outbreak that China initially wouldn't disclose that it came out of a lab. It was only disclosed finally by some journalists that were able to trace that outbreak back to a laboratory.
So it's happened over and over again. The CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, they keep lying about it. They keep trying to conceal how many times they're botching things like this and then spreading diseases all over the world. The worst one being last year with COVID-19. At least if we're to judge this by all of the scaremongering from the past year and the tickers on the right side of the screen, CNN doing its part to tell you how many people were dying. And where did it start? Who is the cause? That would be the Wuhan lab and all those connections with Dr. Fauci. I've gone through that and we'll have to get into that again as well. But so much is being exposed, including how corrupt the propaganda media is here in the United States of America. Are they going to hold China accountable for this? Is China being punished? Or is it the American people who've been punished? It's going great for China. Their economy's on the up and up. Their economy's booming following all this. It's the United States and other Western nations that are still reeling from all of the impacts of this pandemic and so much of it man-made, the lockdown, now the vaccine, and so on. Listen to this. This is Joe Biden's COVID advisor, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel on MSNBC, clip 9.
We need all the data and we need transparency, and we do need the Chinese to participate because, you know, the real issue is not how did this happen? The real issue is how do we protect ourselves from the next pandemic? And how do we have a kind of early warning system for whether it's naturally occurring or a laboratory leak? We still need to protect ourselves so we don't have 3, 4, 5, 10 million people die unnecessarily.
Never mind how it all started. We need their help, the communists. We need help from the communists. This is what Fauci says. Same thing. This is how Fauci excused funding the Wuhan lab, which created the virus. A man-made virus. And Fauci was there helping. The Fauci virus. That's what we called it last week. There's Joe Biden's COVID advisor. And what is he saying? It doesn't matter that China started it. We need China's help because we need to protect ourselves against the next pandemic. And that's what Fauci said years ago when he was supporting all of that gain of function research, that dangerous research. And he's been exposed. He's been exposed as a fraud, as the cause in many ways of diseases such as this. These people have made the matters worse. They've made the situation worse. And then as you read between the lines there, he's basically telling you, of course we're not going to hold China responsible. Of course China's not going to be punished. We're doing the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party. We're here to help them. What about what Trump said? If Trump said it, he's a liar. He's a liar. We take the opposite position, no matter what he says. Jonathan Carl admitted it. A lot is being exposed. You have Dr. Fauci being exposed. This is just a general observation on my part, but I don't think he's been interviewed quite as often. He had a run there where it was like 300 in less than a year. Remember that? He is the definition of a celebrity doctor. But now his credibility, all the flip-flops, the lying, and of course these connections to the Wuhan lab, together with that, you've got, again, at least we're in the early stages of coming out of the pandemic. The Wuhan lab is being exposed, albeit a little too late from the propaganda media. Fauci's being exposed. You've got other governors being exposed and or, in the case of Newsom in California, recalled. There was a judge who ordered last week that the recall effort to take out Whitmer in Michigan, that can go forward. And then, of course, you've got the recount results. Arizona, that chairperson, the spokeslady that came out yesterday, I didn't bring the clip, but she said we're over halfway there. We've gone through over half the ballots. The results of that, I predict, will be earth-shaking. And then you look at the other states that may follow in the steps of Arizona. I read about one effort in Pennsylvania just this morning. And we know about what's happening in Georgia. Now, that's been temporarily delayed because it's just a complicated. It's always complicated when the Democrats start bringing in their attorneys, anything and everything to slow it down, to stop the actual audit from going forward. And there was the news on Friday with this warehouse facility that was keeping the 147,000 ballots that are going to be examined. Guarded by security officials who left their post mysteriously. And then the doors were wide open. The alarm was going off. There's a lot of shady business going on in the world today. A lot of corruption, a lot of evil. And we know through and through it's what's leading to our downfall. But we also know from a few prophecies that quite a lot of it's going to be exposed. Quite a lot will be exposed. Listen to this exchange on CNN. This woman is just evidently stunned that there would still be people who thought Donald Trump won in the election last year. This is clip 6.
Look, I think there are many in the Republican Party who, for some reason, wanted to question the integrity of the election and still, for some crazy reason, believe that Donald Trump still won the election, but that's not the case. We have free and fair elections. President Biden won, Donald Trump lost. And look, I think it's important for people to realize that these elections are run by well-meaning, good-hearted people on the local level.
They're good-hearted, don't you know? The people on the local level, the people at Fulton County that will do anything to ensure that Biden comes out on top. Same with some of those counties in Pennsylvania, Maricopa County. They're good-hearted people. Just trust what they make official. And then the people that come in to inspect the numbers, you can't trust them. You cannot trust them. They cannot be trusted under no circumstances. They are evil. They shouldn't be inspecting anything. They're putting it under a UV light. They're looking for bamboo shoots. They're doing whatever. It's a right wing this, a right wing that. Good-natured people, can good-hearted people make mistakes? Leave aside deceit and dishonesty. They're good-hearted people, she says. Of course, the implication being that everyone on the other side, anyone that would suggest that Donald Trump won the election last year, they're the problem. They're the problem. Well, as I said, there are some definite positives. If you're interested in seeing evil exposed, there has been a lot of that happening in recent weeks. And there's a lot more to come. When we come back, we're going to focus our study of God's Word into the chapter of Isaiah 11 has a lot to say about God's coming rule on this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email, thetrumpet, or rather td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Isaiah 11 portrays Jesus Christ ruling the world in righteousness. It's really an incredible chapter, a vision of hope, a peaceful utopia described from beginning to end. Verse 1, it talks about, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So this line of David, Jesus Christ, of course, sprung from that line when he came in the flesh, when the Word came as Jesus Christ. Verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Eternal." So this is obviously a millennial setting. We touched on this on yesterday's program. And you can see further on in the chapter, the wolf dwelling with the lamb. What an unusual scene. You don't see that in the world today. You see animals fighting one another, and you see that between human beings as well. Verse 3, it says, "And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Eternal, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he," that's speaking of Jesus Christ, "with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." So here again is pictured an actual literal reign of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a reign of Christ over all the earth. That's what's being described here. Verse 5 says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Listen to what Herbert Armstrong had to say in his book, Mystery of the Ages. He said, "Now notice just how the New World Government will function during the next 1,000 years. It will not be so-called democracy. It will not be socialism. It will not be communism or fascism. It will not be human monarchy, oligarchy, or plutocracy. It will not be man's government over man." It says man has proven his incapability of ruling himself. We saw some proof of that in the first segment. Look at the governments in Israel today, how divided they are, how overgrown and bloated they are with respect to, you know, the economy, the budget, just blowing up the budget, just printing off trillions. It's no problem. This is the way they think. Mr. Armstrong says, "It will be a divine government, theocracy, the government of God ruling over humans. It will not be government from the bottom up. The people will have no votes. It will not be government of or by the people, but it will be government for the people, See, that's the thing. It'll be, I mean, God will have our best interest in mind. It will actually be a government of love, a government of outflowing concern. Yes, it will be a government from the top down. And there's not going to be voting. It's not going to be a democracy. It's going to be the kingdom of God. Government from the top down, God Almighty, on down. It will be hierarchy in form. It says there will be no election campaigns. And again, when you think of this and people get all stirred up and worked up over what political party they want to win and so on and so forth, but if you can just step back for a moment and look at the system as a whole, there's so much about it that just needs to go away forever. No more election campaigns. No campaign fundraising dinners. No dirty political campaigns where each candidate attempts to put himself forward in the most favorable light, defaming, denouncing, discrediting his opponents. It says no time will be wasted in mudslinging campaigns in the lust for power. That's really what we see so much of in the United States, in Britain, in Little Judah in the Middle East. You just see lust for power and people willing to do anything. They'll change their tune in 2 seconds if it will benefit them politically, or they'll conceal what their true intentions are, as you heard from Barack Obama. If it helps them politically, well, then we'll lie about it. We have to. We got to get into office. And then we're supposed to believe that everyone at every local level of elections is just good-natured, honest people. I mean, what an ignorant thing to say. When we see so much selfishness and dishonesty at the very top levels of government, to pretend that it couldn't happen at a lower level, to pretend that everything was perfect, even when you've got eyewitnesses coming forward by the thousands to tell you what they witnessed, to tell you about the foul play. So much corruption. It says here, no human will be given any government office. All in government service will then be divine spirit beings in the kingdom of God, the God family. That's what's coming when God establishes his kingdom on this earth. Verse 6, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You don't see that in the animal kingdom today. I just saw it last night, in the middle of the night, my cat was out on the deck, and another cat comes up, and boy, it did not sound good for a while. That's what you see in the animal kingdom today. If you come upon, you know, another animal's territory, there could be a brawl. And that, sadly, is what we see so much with respect to human civilization as well. I mean, we're turning into the wild kingdom. It's just an absolute free-for-all. Every man for himself. That's not what's described here in one of the more memorable descriptions of the coming utopia. A wolf dwelling together with a lamb, and a leopard with the kid. A little child playing with what used to be ferocious beasts. What a wonderful world. Described here in Isaiah 11. Verse 7 says, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I mean, do you believe this is going to happen? Most people would just say, no, I mean, it's nice sounding, but God's not actually going to change the nature of a lion, and obviously you'd have to make some physical changes on the inside too. Can God do that? Well, do you accept God as the maker of all that is? Of course he can do that. He's God. He's our maker. He's the one who designed the universe. It says, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp or the snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. Nursing babies, just out playing with snakes. Can't imagine that in the world today. And that's going to take some adjusting, just in our thinking, because most of us run from snakes. Verse 9, it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal as the waters cover the sea. See, animals won't be killing one another for food, and human beings will no longer be hurting and killing and deceiving and cheating one another. That'll be over. How does it start? Well, it starts with God's family government. As I've explained on a previous program, it's a government headed up by Jesus Christ, but one that needs help and support from a helpmeet, a wife, the government administration. And then that union, that family, taking God's truth out to the world, teaching the world. The knowledge, as it says there, the earth is going to be full of the knowledge of God. And we're going to be teaching. We're going to have a hand in that, those of us in God's family today, those of us in the church of God. Here's what my father said in the God Family Vision. Why build colleges throughout history if men were only going to turn away from them? And he's talking here in this section of his book about this, the schools of Elijah and Elisha and Samuel. And then you get to the first century, even the Apostle Paul, he set up the school of Tyrannus and just outside of Ephesus, I think it was. Herbert Armstrong, in our day, of course, he established Ambassador College. I told you about that relationship between Ambassador College and Dr. Alat Mazar and her grandfather, Benjamin Mazar. And then how we've just continued right on in those same footsteps. We in the Philadelphia Church of God, with the establishment of Herbert W. Armstrong College. And that relationship with the Mazar family continues, and will continue on in her footsteps. Dr. Alat Mazar, who died a week ago. Education, you see. We've got to keep that fire burning. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, he said to Timothy, look, well, in 2 Timothy 1, he said, everyone in Asia has left me. And so it's on you, Timothy, to go out and to make sure that you find leaders who can then go and teach others to be leaders. That's what we need to maintain the continuity that God wants in his family, to make sure that the truth doesn't die out. Well, when God's kingdom is in place, when Jesus Christ is ruling from Jerusalem, then finally there's the authority that you need and the family that you need to spread this educational vision right around the world. And my father's talking about that and raising up these colleges. It says, and the first fruits will lead those colleges as they declare the Father and this God family vision. Then God's knowledge, this vision, will cover the earth as the waters fill the ocean beds. It says, and we are learning how to do that today. For this plan to work, God needs people now who are learning how to declare the Father. It's the fundamental truth of God's plan. What beautiful truth we have received. It's time we learn this deeply so we can teach the whole world. That's the only reason we were called today. God brought us into this so that we could teach others, so that we could help others to understand this precious truth. But here in Isaiah, verse 9, we just read it. It speaks of a time when the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth. Education is the solution to all the problems that we see in the world today. It says in verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, speaking of Christ, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Eternal shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people Israel, Gentiles, you see, seeking Christ, and God setting his hand a second time to recover the remnant of his people Israel to teach them. Verse 12 says, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." So God's going to regather. He's going to bring everyone in. And everyone's going to have access to the same education, the same righteous instruction. And everyone's going to have access to a God being as their teacher. Isaiah 30 brings this out. God, as I said yesterday, he is restoring, he's about to restore his government on this earth so that he can carry out his plan and purpose of reproducing himself. He set out to do that in the very first chapter of Genesis. "Let us make man in our image and likeness." But man rejected that calling. He rejected the tree of life and human civilization, but for the select few that God has chosen to call out in advance to train them for positions of leadership, except for them, the world at large has been cut off from the truth, cut off from the knowledge of God, cut off from the Spirit of God, cut off from the tree of life. But not for very long, not for much longer. As Isaiah 11 brings out, soon the knowledge of God will cover the earth. I'll conclude here with a few emails that have come in of late, since we've got a few extra minutes, a couple minutes anyway. This one here says, "Thank you so much for the opening video." This is in response to yesterday's show. We did have a live show on Memorial Day yesterday. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live if you want to see the video that's mentioned here. It was a 3-minute video that had Ronald Reagan narration kind of mixed in throughout, a Memorial Day tribute of sorts. It says, "I served when Ronald Reagan was president. It was a different time then. As a country, we were trying to keep the country and the world safe from that system which has permeated every facet of this society we now live in. I believe this work of God is doing far more than any of man's armies could ever do to expose the evil which Satan has loosed upon this country and the world." It says, "Thank you so much for speaking out. Thank you to all those behind the camera and the microphone. Thank you, church members, for your prayers and financial support. And above all, thanks to Almighty God for orchestrating and protecting your work." Another one here says, "On this Memorial Day, I'm reminded of what one of our founding fathers said. I think it was Jefferson. The tree of liberty from time to time needs watering by the blood of patriots. It's unfortunate that that is the case in this present evil world." And then another one here, this in response to the tribute we put together for Dr. Elat Mazar. We had one last Wednesday on this show, and then more recently the weekend edition. It says, "This is a most fitting memorial on Memorial Day weekend. Even in the USA, may this tribute to Dr. Mazar continue to echo, and the voices of the stones that she freed from the earth never stop telling the truth." It says, "The most earth-shaking news of the week was indeed May 25th, 2021, the death of Elat Mazar, even right after terrorist rockets had been raining down upon Israel. This content does indeed deserve to be in the spotlight as the centerpiece of the broadcast. May we never take Dr. Mazar's work for granted." You are listening to The Trumpet Daily, and the Trumpet Daily would love to listen to you. So be like some of these viewers and send us an email. If you're new to the program or you're a longtime listener, how about being a first-time emailer? Tell us where you're from, how you listen to the program, what you like about the program, and so on. Just write us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.